Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Hey everyone, my name is Sadara and I'm one of the members of staff here at The Rocks Church. And it is really my privilege to be able to speak to you today. We're so glad that you could join us wherever you're joining us from. Welcome, we're so glad to have you with us. Now, some of you may know that I actually turned 34 this week. That's right. I've reached the ripe old age of 34. And I had a great day on Tuesday, which was my birthday. I spent the day with my husband, Dev, and we just relaxed at home. He brought me my favorite flowers. He cooked dinner for me, which was lovely. And I decided I wanted to bake myself a birthday cake. So I did that. And I also proceeded to eat most of that said birthday cake. So there was also that. But it was a great day. But to be honest, it was a great day in the middle of what has been a really heartbreaking week. Now, I'm sure many of you or all of you are aware of what's going on in the world right now. You know, it's been all over the news, it's been all over our social media. And for me, on a personal level, I've been having some conversations with really close friends of mine, and I've been listening in horror to them talk about the injustice and the discrimination that they faced pretty much all their lives because of the color of their skin. You know, one of these stories is about my little godson who lives in the UK. There were two racially charged incidents at his school when he was just 5 years old, so much so that they called his mother in. And my best friend had to sit down and explain to her five-year-old son about the color of his skin and what that meant for him. And this little boy, this little child at 5 years old, you can't even spell these words, but he had to grapple with the reality of racial discrimination. Now, I'm aware that we will all have different opinions about the current issues happening, the optics, the politics, the media, the social media, the hashtags. But today, I'm asking you to just, for the next 15 minutes or so, for the next little while, just to lay those opinions aside. And open your heart, commit to opening your heart and to opening your mind to just simply listen. Just for the next little while. I'm trusting that you accepted that invitation. You know, here's the thing. We can all have different opinions about politics and media and social media. But as the people of God, we can only have one opinion about racial discrimination. We can only have one opinion about racism, and that is that racism is evil, that it is wrong. Let me say it again. Racism is categorically and wholly wrong. To discriminate against someone, to be prejudiced against someone because of the color of their skin is wrong. It is not what Jesus stood for. It is the antithesis of what it means to be a Christ follower. When we see someone as less than, when we see someone as unworthy, when we see someone as inadequate because of the color of their skin, it dehumanizes the very essence of who they are, of who God created them to be. And that is not just a moral issue. That is a spiritual issue. Let me show you. You know, in the very first book of the Bible, all the way at the very beginning, the book of Genesis, it says this. In Genesis 1:27, it says, "So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." God created human beings. It doesn't say he created human beings of a certain class or a certain color or a certain ethnicity. No, it says God created human beings, period. All human beings were made in the image of God. And when we see someone, when we treat someone, either implicitly or explicitly, as less than that, when we treat someone as unworthy or inadequate based on the color of their skin, it dehumanizes them and it says to them that they are less than what God created them to be, that they're not made in the very image of God. It robs them of the honor and the dignity of how they were created, made in the likeness of God. And racism exists because we have stopped seeing the image of God in other people that don't look like us. And that is not okay. And so for generations, over time, the enemy has been taking ground, advancing the lie that some people are less than, and he has been stripping human beings bit by bit of the beauty of what it truly means to be human. Now, I'm aware that we are so fortunate to be a part of such a multicultural and diverse community here in our church and here in our city. What a blessing that is. And I'm sure that no one listening to this message right now would ever say that racism is okay. I would never say that racism is okay. And yet, having known my friends who are like family to me for so long, being a person of color myself, being godmother to their children, I never took the time to question. I never took the time to ask. I never took the time to learn because I just thought that this was just the way the world was. But as followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to be better than that. I am called to be better than that. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus is having a conversation with a man. And Jesus sums up the whole of the law and the commandments in just this one sentence. In Luke chapter 10, he says this, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." This is what it looks like to be a Christian. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. You see, I don't so much struggle with the first part, but I do struggle with the second part. Love your neighbor as yourself. And this man that Jesus was in conversation with, he asks Jesus a clarifying question. He says, "Jesus, who is my neighbor?" And Jesus, to answer him, he tells him a parable. A parable is a story that Jesus would use to illustrate a point. And this was the parable that he told the man. It says, Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, they beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man, and if his bill runs higher than this, I will pay you the next time I'm here." Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." And then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." So to recap, we see that there's a man who's taking a trip from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And on the way down, he's attacked, he's robbed, he's beaten up, and he's left half for dead. And a priest comes by and a temple assistant walks by. They pass him by, and what did they do? Their response is to cross to the other side. They kept on walking by. It's not that they didn't see him, because we read in verse 31, it says a priest came along when he saw the man lying there. In verse 32, a temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there. It's not that they didn't see him. They saw, they looked, they just didn't stop. And when I read this part of the story, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Isn't that what I do so often too? I look, but I don't see. I listen, but I don't hear. I pass by, but I don't stop. You know, for me and for all of us, we have a unique moment in time, a moment in history right now to stop. To really stop, to see, to look, to listen, to hear, because there are people who are hurting all around us, people who have been hurting for a very long time, people that I know, people that you know too. And if you are one of those people and you're listening to this message right now, I don't have words that are adequate. I am so sorry. And we want you to know that we love you and we stand with you. And we are committed to stopping and to not just crossing to the other side. It's time to stop passing by. It's time to stop. In the parable that Jesus told, it's interesting that the only man who stopped was a Samaritan man. Now, this would have shocked the Jewish people that were listening to Jesus at the time, because the Jews and the Samaritans, they were mortal enemies. You see, the Jews considered the Samaritans to be second-class citizens. They were unworthy of their association. They weren't worthy of their time. And see, Jesus, by talking about a Samaritan man, he makes a point that this man that stopped, he wasn't a Jew, he was a Samaritan. And he makes the point that is relevant to us today, that the kingdom of God, it has no racial or cultural or ethnic division. You see, in the kingdom of God, we may all be different, but we are all children of God, made in his very image. See, when it comes to answering this man's question, who is my neighbor? Jesus is trying to get this man to see. He's trying to get us to see that everyone is. Is it him? Yes. Is it her? Yes. Is it these people? Yes. Is it those people? Yes. 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 And yes, they are all my neighbor. And what does Jesus command us? Not encourage, not suggest. What does he command us to do? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Who is my neighbor? They are all my neighbor. Love them all. And we must model this in the church. You see, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that God put together the body of Christ. He put the church together so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, then every part rejoices with it. Now he says, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. It's not just a problem for some people over there or these people over here. We suffer with those who suffer because we are part of one body, the body of Christ, all of us together, one body, many parts. It's not just their problem. It's our problem. It's our problem. So what do we do? What do we do about this problem that is so big and it seems to be so insurmountable? What can I do? Well, for me, I take a leaf out of the Samaritan's book. You see, Jesus tells us what causes him to stop. In verse 33, it says, then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. The Message version puts it like this. It says, when he saw the man's condition, his heart went out to him. What causes us to stop in our tracks is when our heart goes out to another person. When we allow ourselves to feel compassion, to be moved, to see another person's pain, to stop long enough to suffer with those who suffer. You see, perhaps without first assuming or judging or opinionating or defending or attacking, what if we all just took a breath and stopped? Just stopped and allowed our heart to go out to someone else, to feel their pain, even if we didn't yet understand. What if we let compassion lead the way? But here's the thing about pain. Pain is painful. Well, that's obvious. But you see, that's why I get desensitized to it. That's why I get numb to it. Because feeling pain, seeing pain is painful. And I don't want to feel pain, even if it's someone else's pain. But you see, that is the first step to truly living out the call to be the body of Christ, to suffer with those that suffer. We must model it in the church. Because if we can't do that in our own body, how can we do that in the world? How can we do that in the world? And perhaps after we take that first step, that's a springboard where we can go further. We can first examine. We can examine our own hearts, examine my own prejudices, my own perceptions, my own thoughts. I can't change the world if I can't first change myself. And now I'm not saying that anyone here would ever be overtly racist to someone, but maybe our biases are implicit. Maybe it's in what we don't say. Maybe it's in who we don't talk to. Maybe it's in where we don't sit. Those covert actions that say so much more and speak louder than any words that we utter ever could. We need to examine our own hearts. Next, I need to repent. I need to repent before God for not seeing, for not stopping, for the prejudice in my own heart, and ask Him to renew my heart and to transform my mind. And then I need to listen. You see, just because it hasn't been my experience, it doesn't mean that it hasn't been someone else's experience. And I can't just dismiss that. I can't. It requires humility to listen, to say, I don't understand, but I want to try. Will you help me? We need to listen. And we need to learn. There's so much out there, so much resource out there that is just at our fingertips. We can educate ourselves. We need to learn. And finally, we need to act. Now, there's a whole bunch of things that we can do, but I believe real change has to start in my heart, in my home, in my friendship circles. Maybe we need to start having some conversations in our families. Maybe we need to start having some conversations with our children. You know, hatred, racism, no one is born hating another person. Racism and hatred, they are taught, they are caught, they are learned behaviors. It matters what we talk to our children about. And if we aren't having these conversations at home, our children will take their cues from somewhere else. It matters that we have the hard conversations. You know, often I want to change the world, but always I have to start with me, with my house, with my heart. And as I bring this message to an end, Jesus too ends this conversation with this man. He talks about what the Samaritan has done, and then he says in verse 37, yes, now go and do the same. Go and do the same. Go and do likewise. Go and do like the Samaritan man did. And the thing about Jesus is this: he never asks us to do something that he hasn't first done himself. You see, as I read this parable, it becomes glaringly obvious to me that in essence that you and I were the man who was beaten and bruised and left for dead by the side of the road. You see, in the Garden of Eden, when we go all the way back to the very beginning where we started this message, if we go all the way back there in the Garden of Eden, we opened the door to sin and the devil robbed us of who God created us to be. It left us bleeding and beaten and bloodied and bruised. And yet God, he saw our desperate state. He saw our desperate state and he did not pass us by. He did not just cross to the other side. He moved, he acted, he sent his only son, Jesus Christ. Because he so loved you and he so loved me, he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die a sinner's death on the cross, to pay for the sin of the world. He died for evil, for injustice, for iniquity, for injustice, for evil. He died for it all. He died for sin once and for all. And that is why we can now hope for a better day. Because Jesus has won the ultimate victory. And whoever you are, whatever you look like, wherever you come from, Jesus died for you. He died for me, and we can put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. He won the ultimate victory, and he redeemed our humanity by winning us eternal life. This is the good news of the gospel. This is why we can have hope. This is why we can have faith. This is why we can hope and know that there are better days ahead. But Jesus has already moved. He has already intervened. And now he looks at you and he looks at me and he says, go and do the same. Go and do the same. As the body of Christ, what will our response be? As the body of Christ, what will we do? What will you do? What will I do? And as I end this message here, I want to leave us with that question. What will we do? And with so much going on in the world right now, so much hurt, so much pain, so much grief, I think it would be prudent for us to end by praying. So I'd love for you to join me wherever you are. Why don't we lift our hands and why don't we lift our hearts to God? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, God, that your word assures us that you are close to the brokenhearted, that you save those who are crushed in spirit. And Father, our world is broken right now. Our world is hurting. There are people hurting and grieving and wounded. And we just want to pray, God, for your peace. We want to pray for your love, for your grace to shine through. God, for those who need comfort, we pray your comfort. Holy Spirit, would your presence be sweet? Would your presence surround them? May they have the strength that they need to face each and every single day that comes. And for us here, God, I pray that we would truly be the hands and feet of Jesus in the communities that we're in. Father, I pray that we would be beacons of light, of hope, of grace. Help us, God, to speak truth in grace. Help us to be love, to show love, to act like Jesus would act. And God, I want to pray for your blessing, your pressed down, shaken together, overflowing blessing over every single person listening to the sound of my voice, over their families. May we take this blessing, may we take this love of Christ and shower it upon the world that we live in today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, that brings us to the end of our time together, church. Thank you so much for joining us. We love connecting with you online, and we look forward to connecting with you throughout the week as well as seeing you back next week. Thanks again for joining us. We love you. Have a great day. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.